Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen and I am joined today by my friend Christian Castain. As always, how are you doing, Christopher?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing okay. It's been an interesting last couple of days. We recorded a show yesterday, but it was so much of a tire fire for really the first time in podcast history that we decided it'd be better if it never saw the light of day, although it may come out later this summer as a bonus pod, as the Lost podcast. We talked very little football, which worked well. I'm not against not talking football, but there were just technical issues that kept us from putting together a really quality show. So I'm ready to do a quality show today.
Yeah, I am too. Not the best shows that we had yesterday, but if we post it later on, y'all will see possibly why.
Yeah.
It will explain itself.
Yeah, no. So we have a little bit of news to get to. The free agency period is calmed down a lot. The next really big piece that we're waiting on to sign is Ndamukong Suh, and I'm a little bit surprised by that. But Chris, you said you weren't. Why?
No, this is probably Ndamukong Suh's choice. He's probably got a lot of choices to choose between. I know he's made several visits. I can't tell you exactly who he's visited as of right now, but he's probably just thinking it all out. He'll probably be signed sometime this week, but I'm not really surprised that it's taking him a week to decide or make a decision. This is probably more him than the team's.
Right.
Or him and his agent.
Right, yeah. Indeed. Yeah, I'm excited to see where he signs. Hopefully he does that later this week, and then on next week's show we can get you some updates on that. I looked it up. We are 32 days away from the NFL draft. Get excited about that.
Yeah, it still feels like a long time though, I'll tell you.
Yeah, no, it does. I'm at the point of the off season where I needed a football break for a little while, but then March Madness happened, and now March Madness is wrapping down, and suddenly all I have is baseball and the NBA. I like the NBA, but I'm not a massive fan of it. And
it's just the wrong time of the season for the NBA. The playoffs haven't started.
And suddenly I'm left with only baseball as an option. But then pretty soon the NHL playoffs will start and I'll get consumed in that for 2 months. And then as soon as you know it, it'll be June and I'll miss football again. But I'm just kind of in this down period where I'm missing football today and ready to talk a little bit about inconsequential free agency moves that probably won't make a difference for most of these teams.
Probably not, but yeah, I think for me, I still haven't quite made it over that ready for football yet, just because I know it's so long away. I'm not even going to get I'm not going to get excited and set for it when it's 3-4 months away. But yeah, but we still have NBA playoffs and all that. You have NHL playoffs. I'm not, I don't know enough about the NHL to know what I'm even looking at. So, yeah, that's that.
Yeah, so the next month we'll probably be doing, I know 2 weeks ago we put out like 5 shows. That probably won't be happening for the next few months. We'll probably keep doing them unless there's like big news. We're gonna shoot, I think, on putting out podcasts on Saturdays and Sundays, or at least recording them then and getting out about one podcast a week. It should be a lot of fun while we are waiting, getting up to the NFL draft here. We don't want to delve too much into the draft because we're going to talk probably a lot about that, not next week, but like the 2 weeks before the draft.
During that time, we'll probably do 2 podcasts a week, but until then, we still got a month to go. 32 days.
Well, not exactly. We until we can really start delving into the draft, in my opinion, we have about 3 weeks, including this one. So we'll have about 3 shows where we'll come up with some fun, kind of looser topics to talk about, and then we'll delve right into the draft. First, we got some news, though. The Colts have signed some decent O-linemen kind of behind the scenes. They didn't make a huge splash in the expensive time of free agency, but I didn't like what they were doing, and we'll get to their big trade a little bit later. Actually, let's just talk about the Colts overall now. The Colts traded down, got a lot of draft picks from the Jets. I really like what they're doing. I think Chris Ballard has said, okay, we're going to build through the draft because that's what successful teams do, and we're going to sign some depth in free agency. They haven't done enough on defense, but I think they're going to target that heavily in the draft. I think they might be able to get Nick Chubb at 6 if he falls that far. And I think that this team's
Nick
heading...
Nick Chubb.
Right?
You meant Brad...
I always get confused. I don't even know this guy's first name.
Nick Chubb's the running back of Georgia. That's not...
Bradley Chubb. NC State.
The defensive end, yeah.
Yeah, no, that shows you how much draft research I've done, which is a little, but not a lot. I know a lot about the quarterbacks, not as much about the edge rushers. I think this is a good trade for the Colts. I think they're the winners. I think they've kind of won the last week of free agency. What do you think, Chris?
I would agree with you, too. This seems we're going to find out what Chris Ballard is about when the draft comes, because he's going to have so many draft picks. We're going to be able to that's going to define him. But the decent offensive lineman when he signed them. I thought that was the better of the two deals so far. You talking about when they traded with the Jets? I think the upgrading your offensive line was more of a big deal. They had that mess of the offensive line last season. We should see improvement, and that'll be a good start. Even if Jacoby Brissett's starting, it's still going to be it's still a good sign.
Yeah, indeed. So that's where we are with the Colts. What do you think about the Jets trading up to 3? This is a trade that tells me they're ready to get their quarterback. Do you think this was a good move for the Jets, and who do you think they're going to take at number 3?
Well, I'm going to say no, but it's based off what I've been saying all along. I think these four quarter. Well, I think there'll be a quarterback available at 6. Even you probably have a Baker Mayfield available. So all in all, I don't think it's a great deal. But I guess you do have to take that risk and move up, because you do never know. All 4 quarterbacks could be taken in the first 5 rounds or the first 5 picks. But I don't think that would have happened. So I don't think it was a good deal, but it. I guess it's not a risky move. I mean, it's a good move if you're guaranteed wanting a quarterback, but you're giving up quite a bit to move up to 3.
I would say that it's worth it to find a quarterback, and I'd say that I disagree. I don't think the quarterback would be there at 6, because you got the Browns. If Sam Darnold was at 2, the Giants have been reported they'll only take Sam Darnold, apparently, if he's available at 2. So the Giants could take their quarterback if he's left at 2. So that's 2 possible quarterbacks gone. Then the Colts wouldn't take a quarterback, obviously. But then at number 4, you have the Browns again. And you don't know what they're going to do. And then you have the Bills and the Dolphins, who are both looking to get into that 3 and 4 spot. The Broncos are most likely taking a QB at 5. Like, I think that.
Well,
I don't know.
I
think it's a decent move. I don't think there's too much risk behind it.
No, I think Which, as it stands, I would say there's going to be three quarter, or there's going to be one quarterback available, because I think Saquon Barkley's going to go top five. He'll probably go to the Browns at four or one, unless he were to go to three. But the Jets draft one, that would obviously not be the case. But anyway, there will still be one quarterback available. So, but here's the thing: if you know who you want exactly, then yeah, it's worth going up, moving up to three. Of course, unless they draft who you're looking for. But this kind of tells me that the Jets already know which quarterback they're looking for. So I think all in all, it's a good deal. But I just think he could have gotten a quarterback at six. But then again, if you know your guy, it's not a ridiculous move to go ahead and draft. Move up to three.
Also, the Colts signed Eric Ebron and Christian Michaels. Christian Michael will most likely be the backup with Frank Gore moving on from the Colts. I would expect Marlon Mack to mainly start taking the snaps in the Colts backfield. But Frank Gore signing with the Dolphins, I like the move. For Frank Gore, at least he can still be a good player, and we'll talk a little bit about free agency teams that have struggled later. But I don't understand the move for the Dolphins. I like it for Frank Gore, and I think he can provide decent running back play for at least another year. He keeps proving us wrong when we doubt him, so I'm not willing to say that he's going to dramatically decline until I see it.
Well, we know the Dolphins don't know what they're doing at this point in time. Frank Gore is, of course, a veteran. It's not a terrible signing, I don't think. I think, especially after the trade last season, you have to start somewhere. So I guess this is a bad signing, but this just sums up what the Dolphins are. They're a mess right now. Like some people said, they're going to get to the point where I don't know who they're going to draft. I think they want to draft Baker Mayfield. I don't think that's going to happen. But all in all, I think they're a train wreck. So I'm not surprised that they made this move.
Yeah, so up next, the Giants traded Jason Pierre-Paul to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Makes the Bucs pass rush a little bit better. The Buccaneers have been kind of quiet in free agency, but they haven't been awful. I just don't believe in the coaching or the quarterback necessarily. Your thoughts on this trade, and then I have some thoughts on what this can do for the Giants.
I think this was a better move for the Bucs in general. I don't think this really helped the Giants at all. What draft pick did they get? They got a draft pick. Well, it was like a fifth round.
Third and a fourth.
Well, I guess it's not too bad. I guess
that's really good for Jason Pierre-Paul, who
I think they got the value out of him. So
the Giants definitely won the trade, in my opinion.
Yeah, with the third and fourth rounder, I thought it was just a fifth rounder. I couldn't remember for sure, but anyway, with that being said, yeah, I would say the Giants won the trade. All in all, that they'll be able to start building back on, particularly on the offensive line. It's flat out terrible. But anyway, with those two draft picks. So, yeah, for the Bucs, this is it was an okay trade. I'm not going to say it was a terrible trade. I think they give up a little much for them. But all in all, I would say neither side really lost. That's the good thing, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, it was a decent signing by decent trade for the Giants, and I am just fact checking. I do believe it was a third and fourth round pick, but I think this is really good for the Giants because it gives them options in the draft, and I wrote an article on this, actually earlier in the week about how the trade could make them big draft day winners. Now, they could stay at two, and they could take their quarterback, or they could take Bradley Chubb at two and get a replacement pass rusher. But that's not necessarily what I do. I'd say if you take someone at two, take your quarterback. What you could do potentially is trade down to four with the Cleveland Browns, and to flip up two picks up that high, I think you could get 2 seconds and a third, or maybe a first and a second next year from the Browns, and that would be awesome because first round picks are invaluable. But then you could look at a team like Miami, who needs a quarterback, and say, all right, you're at 12, you want to move up to 4, that's going to cost you a lot. Give us your first rounder this year, your first rounder next year, 2 seconds, a third. And if they really wanted to, they could take one of the seconds out and also say, also trade us Ryan Tannehill. And Tannehill wouldn't obviously be the answer in Miami, in New York, but he if they truly believe Eli Manning has another 2 or 3 good years in him, which I don't. I don't think there's any chance that he remains even a top 20 quarterback over the next 2 years. Then at least you have someone who you can use as a placeholder while you go look for your next franchise quarterback.
Right, yeah. For me, I think they should stay pat. I think they need to look for their franchise quarterback. But what you said, trading for Ryan Tannehill and moving down, it's not a terrible deal, but the only problem is I don't think Eli Manning's going to be in the league that long. I don't think he's going to be a good quarterback that long, so I think they should go ahead and draft their future quarterback at, third, wherever they're at. At this point,
they're second,
so I think they should go ahead and draft their quarterback at second. But Ryan Tannehill would be a good backup quarterback. So I just think the finding your future quarterback outweighs having a moving down.
See, the thing I just don't really like about is this. I know that they should take a quarterback. I don't think they're gonna, because everything that has come out of New York sounds like they are not gonna take a quarterback at number two.
Yeah, and they might not. But if you're not gonna take a quarterback, I think they should move down. I really do. If they're not gonna take a quarterback, because it's just, I think whoever they're gonna get at two, whoever they're looking for to get two, they're probably gonna be able to get them at number four. Like you said, similar, or 4 or 5, something like what you said. I'm not necessarily saying that they would trade the Cleveland Browns, because I think the Cleveland Browns should stay pat. But with one of these other teams, I think they should move down, because I just don't see the sense. If you're not drafting a quarterback, you have no business not moving down.
The Giants, by the way, confirmed they did get a third and a fourth round pick for Jason Pierre-Paul, which is huge, seeing that, of course, with his hand, he's not as good, and that his production, not to mention, has dipped a little bit in the past year. So it's a great trade for the Giants. I think that they definitely won that one. All right, the last move we have to talk about here. Two more. This one's pretty quick. Allen Hurns to the Cowboys. I like this move. The Cowboys needed to get a younger wide receiver. I think they still need to draft someone, but they needed to improve their wide receiving core, and they certainly did that with this move.
Yeah, this is a very good move for the Cowboys. I can't. That wide receiver core had nothing. Dez Bryant is on the downhill of his career. And the Cowboys keep. I think they think Dez is going to get better, but I don't think Dez is going to turn back into old Dez. 2013-2014 Dez, that's gone, that's done. Move on from it. Terrence Williams, I would say they're probably going to keep them both. They're probably going to sign with Hurns. I think this is a better wide receiver corps. This is a start to what they need to do, but really what they need to start thinking about is cutting Dez, but that's not going to happen, so So all in all, I'd say this, yeah, it's a good move.
All right, and then finally, you have Brock Osweiler signing with the Miami Dolphins. Brock Osweiler, the bane of my existence. Thank God he's not on the Broncos anymore. My least favorite thing in the world was watching the Brock Osweiler-led Broncos. Just made me sad inside. So glad he's out of my life. I mean, yes, he was developed under Adam Gase in Denver, so who knows? He might have be decent. I think that he can be and this is a hot take, but I think he can be a decent like top five backup quarterback in the league if he's playing at his best. He didn't play awful at the end of the year last year. He had that really good game against the Colts. He by no means should be a starter, but if you need him to fill in 3 to 5 games, he showed it when Peyton Manning got hurt, and he showed it last year when Trevor Siemian went down with the injury at the end of the year. He can provide you 1 to 2 pretty good games.
Yeah, I would. That's absolutely what I would say. He's a top 5 to 10 backup quarterback. Definitely not starter. Definitely not a starter in this league. Especially what we saw with over the past few years when he went to Houston and all that stuff. He's been around the whole league over the past 5 years. So, so yeah, he's not a great quarterback at all. But he's decent backup quarterback. That's what I would call him. As far as Tannehill, I think this could be a sign that they could be trading up to get a quarterback, to get their future. They could be just signing Osweiler for temporary and moving Tannehill. I think that's definitely a possibility.
Okay, let's play a little bit of what's more likely here with this situation. What's more likely? Ryan Tannehill is on the Dolphins at the start of the 2018 season, or Brock Osweiler starts 5 games for the Miami Dolphins?
Brock Osweiler starts 5 games with Miami Dolphins. It just looks more likely. After the whole Tannehill and Gase's relationship isn't that great in general, I definitely see them moving on from Tannehill. I would definitely say Osweiler will be starting 5 games out of those two options.
All right. Moving on, I wrote an article about the losers and non-doers of free agency. I didn't name it that because that's a clunky name. I named it NFL teams whose off-seasons have left something to be desired. Now you don't have to go off my list, Chris, but I thought it would be fun if we kind of went back and forth and maybe chose three teams that we believe didn't really do well in free agency. Would you like to start?
Sure. What do we want? We want to start NFC, AFC, or does it
You
matter?
can you don't have to use my teams. It's just
Oh, no, I'm just saying. Do
I don't fit. It doesn't really matter anywhere.
Okay. For me, I'm gonna start with the A. I'm gonna go with the Miami Dolphins. I actually haven't even had time to read your, or I haven't really read your list, so I wouldn't really be able to go based off of it. But I'm gonna go with the Miami Dolphins. I just don't know. I just don't think they know what they're doing. Of course, now let me rephrase this. People are gonna say, "Oh, they know what they're doing." Blah blah blah. No, they're a professional franchise. But in other words, I just don't believe they know what they're doing. For me, I just don't like the signing so far. Osweiler was the probably one of the better signings, just because Frank Gore wasn't that great of a signing. Now we still have time to see what they do, but I would say the Miami Dolphins would be a top failed free agency so far, especially with what they've lost. What they've lost with Ndamukong Suh would be more of another reason why I would say they failed the free agency period so far.
Yeah, I would agree that they haven't done very well. I'm gonna go with your team, the Miami Dolphins. I'd say that I'd say that the Dolphins haven't, I don't know, they just haven't.
That's the thing I just said.
Oh, no, sorry. I go with your team, the Atlanta Falcons.
Okay.
I would say that they haven't, yes, they signed guard Brandon Fusco. Yes, the offensive line was kind of a disappointment last year. Also, you guys should go check out Chris's article on Pro Sports Fandom. He wrote a little bit of his recap of the Falcons offseason. Very good article. But I think that they needed to keep Taylor Gabriel, and they needed to add to their wide receiver core. And Steve Sarkisian, a guy who last year at points made it look like he couldn't run an NFL offense, I feel like his offense just got worse. And they also lost Adrian Claiborne, who, yes, he only had one really big game for sacks last year, but overall he played very, very well last year and was probably top 15 at his position in the NFL. And Ontari Poe, who's an excellent run stopper, leaves to go sign with the Carolina Panthers. I just see a lot of holes in this Atlanta Falcons team now that weren't there when free agency started, and I'd say that they're one of the bigger losers of this offseason.
Yeah, I won't disagree with you with what they've lost. They've lost so many key players, with Taylor Gabriel to Ontari Poe and Adrian Claiborne going to the Patriots. As far as losing players, it's not that great. But the problem is their salary cap. They don't have that much money. I think I looked into it the other day. They only have like $7.9 million left in salary cap after they signed their draft players. So they really don't have any room to do anything at this point. That's why I pretty much said I think their free agency period's over. They're going to have to move on to the draft. And they're pretty much just going to have to draft their players that they just lost, because they just don't have the salary cap to do that at this point.
Yeah, I think they definitely have to go after players in the draft. You're up. Who is your next team that you didn't think did super well?
For me, it's the Green Bay Packers. I don't think they did that great. All in all, especially in that division, I would say that they're probably one of the biggest losers just because there are other teams in that division did so well with the pairs and the signing of Taylor Gabriel and the other wide receivers. And, of course, Minnesota signing Cousins. As far as Green Bay goes, the Jimmy Graham signing wasn't that great. People like make it out to be way bigger than it really is. It's just you didn't even really replace Jordy Nelson, because I just don't think Jimmy Graham's gonna be what Jordy Nelson was to Aaron Rodgers. I think this Packers offense got worse. And that's really why I would say they're one of the top losers in this free agency period so far.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think that, yes, adding Muhammad Wilkerson definitely helps your defense, but they needed to target a cornerback, and they didn't do that. They are extremely weak in their secondary, and there's still some major holes on this Green Bay team. My second team, I've already kind of placed my displeasure with the Broncos out there several times on this podcast, so I'm not going to beat a dead horse. We go somewhere else in that division. The Oakland Raiders, I think they really, I just don't understand, but I know that it's funny to laugh at John Gruden saying, oh, I want to take the game back to 1998, ha 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 ha, but really, that's kind of what he's doing. He's signed Jordy Nelson. He's signed Doug Martin. He's gotten rid of arguably one of their best receivers in Michael Crabtree. The team, other than Amari Cooper, as far at the wide receiver position, is slow. They signed Virgil Green from the Broncos. He's not a receiving tight end. He's a blocking tight end. But the running backs they have are Doug Martin and Marshawn Lynch, and I'm just not sure if either one of them still has what it takes to really move an NFL offense forward. And then he hasn't addressed the most glaring issue on his team, which is the horrible defense. Yeah. Yes, they have Khalil Mack, but that's about it. Like, your cornerbacks aren't great. You don't have a solid safety. And I don't know. He's trading for fullbacks. It doesn't make a lot of sense. The Raiders just seem to be putting together a team of old slow dudes who might be past their prime. And I don't think it's going to end well for them.
Yeah. Not going to go into predictions or anything, but they look like just the average team right now to me. They look like they did last year. This team, I don't think any different of them than I did last year. Even with Jordy Nelson signing, I think Jordy Nelson will be a okay replacement for Michael Crabtree. I don't think they should have done it, but they did. So, and then Doug Martin, yeah, I would agree with you that backfield's getting kind of old, getting very old. So, I just don't know. It's going to be, but in a way, I think it's going to be unique to see what happens when they start actually playing. He's actually said he wants to take this game backwards. I don't think it's going to be that successful. It's definitely not going to win them a Super Bowl. I can pretty much guarantee you that. So, are they going to make their ultimate goal? No, but they'll be a decent team, I think. But that's so long away. Not ready to say yet. The next
All right.
thing for me. Oh, do we want to go another team?
Yeah. Sorry, I was about to cue you up, but you took care of it. Good job.
The next thing for me is the Dallas Cowboys. For me, they just haven't done much of anything during the offseason. Yeah, they signed. I can't remember right this second.
Allen Hurns.
Yeah, Allen Hurns. Yeah. Which we talked about this earlier. They signed Allen Hurst to shore up that wide receiver corp a little bit, but that's it. That's basically it. Any notable move, that is it. And we knew that team had defensive issues that they needed to shore up. And they did make one move, one notable, real notable move. That's why I would say they failed so far. But they're not the top fail. They didn't fail like miserably, but they're one of the top five teams. I would say that.
Yeah, but the final team I think I'll look at here. How can you not save the Seattle Seahawks? They lost every part of their defense. They lost their second and third wide receivers. They didn't drastically improve the offensive line. They didn't add anything back on defense. The Seattle Seahawks, I just don't know. I think you agree with me.
Yeah.
But here's my question for you. Next year, should Pete Carroll and John Schneider, the GM, be on the hot seat?
That's tough. I think it's going to be based on how they play next season. I'm not going to – if they miserably fail, they might be on a – I think Pete Carroll will be more on the hot seat than Snyder will be. I just don't think – I don't – but it's tough. It's going to depend on how – I'm going to say – I would say it depends on how the regular season played out, but it's the draft. They're going to have to win the draft. They need to win the draft, the whole draft. In order for both of them to avoid a hot seat, because this team hasn't made very many great moves. I saw what you said earlier, that they've made some moves, but they've made the wrong moves. To me, they just haven't really made that many great moves at all, and they've let their defense go. There might be a hot seat deserved, but I don't think it'll happen.
Yeah, no, that's certainly it. Again, NFL teams whose free agency period left something to be desired, go check it out on prosportsfandom.com. Also on my Twitter page at Eric18Utah. Check out Chris's Falcons start to free agency and what to expect moving forward on ProSportsFandom.com and at ChrisPSF. So, Chris, do you have anything else you want to talk about today? How's life? I thought we might get to some running back rankings today for fantasy, but have decided it's a long enough off season already. So we will probably do a fantasy show kind of after free agency in a few weeks, not right now. So yeah, that would be my thought on for rest of the show. What do you think? Anything else you want to talk about?
Not in particular. I don't have anything in mind.
All right. Well, with that being said, it's been an awesome show. Chris, thanks for joining me. Ladies and gentlemen, you got a nice 35-minute show here. You can go listen to it at work and on your lunch break. And we'll be back next week, either next weekend or next Tuesday, on the End Zone Podcast. So again, follow us on Twitter at End Zone Pod, at Eric18Utah, at ChrisPSF. And yeah, it's gonna be another long week without football, but hopefully we get some more moves to talk about. I don't think the trade tsunami is done quite yet.
All right,
thanks, guys. Peace out.
Peace.